It is good again to see you all here this morning, but you know, it has been my observation throughout the years that when you get an extra hour of sleep, the crowd on Sunday morning always seems a little more tired than when you actually lose an hour of sleep. It's kind of like, you know, you're kind of like adjusted to it, you know, it should be an hour later and you're heading home and all, I don't know, but it's just been my observation. And I can see by the look on all of your faces that you're really impressed by that observation this morning. It's really, really quite something, I'll tell you what. But anyhow, I hope that you did enjoy that extra hour. And for me, I was here like kind of 3 hours ago, just kind of wanting to get going. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians this morning. I want to pick up, of course, on our theme of faith. And that's what we had our missions conference, of course, last Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And the theme through all of that was faith and our need to live by faith. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is a great chapter on faith. So beginning in verse 1, the Bible says this: "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Let's pray. Lord, we ask and pray your blessing now upon this message. Speak to our hearts in a very real, powerful, and personal way. Draw each of us closer to you. Help me as I preach this message, Lord. Please use me as your instrument and use me as your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I encourage you, if you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, to take one of the pew Bibles, because we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, but you'll see the outline here a lot better if you have the scriptures right in front of you. I wasn't expecting to have to preach this morning, so I wasn't able to have all of these scriptures put up on the screen. So we're actually going to have to just do it the old-fashioned way. We're just going to have to look at the Bible this morning and see what the Word of God says. Amen? Amen. That's pretty good for a tired crowd this morning. That's a pretty good amen. So I want you to see some things here. Brother Harmon last week, he mentioned the verse, "The just shall live by faith." And that's how you and I are called to live. That's what missions is all about. The just shall live by faith. It's found three times in the New Testament, and it's found once in the Old Testament. It's found in the book of Romans. That verse is found in the book of Galatians. And that verse is found in the book of Hebrews. And if memory serves me correctly, I should have double-checked, but I believe it's also found in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament. I may have that wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's in the book of Habakkuk. But four times in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. And when we think of faith, just by way of introduction, first we think of the fact that you need to be saved by faith. Amen? For by grace are we saved by faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's a saving faith. But then we talk about a scriptural faith. And what I mean by that is this Bible that we hold in our hands this morning, the scripture, this body of truth, it's scriptural faith. Faith cometh by, you know this verse, say it out loud with me, Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this whole body of truth, we hear the word of God, that's how we get saved in conjunction with the Holy Spirit moving upon our lives. And then as believers, we look at this body of truth and we learn from it. And so then that develops a sanctifying faith. We grow in the faith. We sang one of the songs this morning. We talked about our walk in faith. You know this verse as well, I'm sure. We are to walk by faith, not by what? Not by sight. So faith, it's all over who we are and all over the scriptures. And so Paul writes here to the church in Thessalonica, a church that he helped to establish. And there are really 5 points that I want to give you that are found in this chapter. So let's look at these as we work our way through it. The first we're going to see is the need to have an established faith. So again, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And we sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ." Now look what it says here, "to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." So many years ago, I did this in my Bible. I have the word established underlined, and I have the word faith underlined, and I have a line drawn to the two. So my first point is this, the need to have an established faith. The word established, it means to make steadfast or firm or to be on a permanent basis, for there to be stability. And so Paul is writing here, and he left Timotheus, his brother, minister of the gospel, a fellow laborer, to establish their faith. You know, that's what missions is about. Whether it's the Harmons or the Greens or the Mortensons that we were reintroduced to last week, whether it's in Honduras or Taiwan or Peru or right here in North Adams, once you've received the saving faith of Jesus Christ, it's important that you're established in the faith, that your faith becomes firm. It's on a permanent basis. It's stable. And you notice he left Timotheus there to do that. That's the responsibility of Timotheus. He said, "Timothy, I'm going to leave you here, and now you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to help these new believers, this church in Thessalonica, to be established in the faith, to grow them up in the things of God." That's the responsibility of the preacher. 30 years ago, when you called me to be your pastor, that became the responsibility that you gave me. And then several years ago, when you called Ethan to be the co-pastor, that became his responsibility. But it didn't just end with us. I thank all of you that teach Sunday school, because by way of you volunteering to teach Sunday school, you're establishing children and then junior age or teenagers in the faith. And I am so thankful for that. Preach the word, Paul would write to Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant, in season. Reprove, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That's what Paul would write to Timothy. And he wanted these new Christians, just like we want our fellow believers in Peru and Taiwan and throughout the world, we want them to be established in the faith. Brother Harmon started 6 churches. He's not pastoring any of those churches. He taught a young Timothy, a Peruvian. He established that man in the faith. And that man, that national, he's the one that's leading those Peruvian churches, six different men, and establishing them in the faith. That's his responsibility. Look what it says, if you would. Take your Bibles and look at verse number 13 of chapter 2. Look what Paul says here. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." Now look what it says of them. "Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So does the word of God effectually work in you? That's how we're established in the faith. The word of God is the boundaries of our Christian faith. It's the landmarks of our Christian faith. Some years ago, I had a little bit of a dispute with one of my neighbors. It wasn't a bad thing. It all worked out in the end. But I had a load of wood dropped off on a corner of my property. And they felt for sure that that was their property. And I got out all of my paperwork and I said to them, "No, here's the markers. Here's the landmarks." But one of the landmarks was in stone, and then across the road, it said on my papers, the other landmark was a telephone pole. Well, they said, they could have moved the telephone pole. Well, to the best of my knowledge, they don't move telephone poles because the power company needs to know exactly where the telephone poles are. But I said, "No problem." We had good relations. They're dear friends even to this day. I said, "I'll cut the wood. I'll get it out of there. And it'll all be fine." Well, last year, this same neighbor had some problems with the neighbor on the other side of them. So they decided to get a survey done. So they did. And it was good for me because they had to do the survey of my property and the other people's property. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know it, it was just where I said my property line was. But that was a boundary that was there when we purchased the property. And now there's a pin in the ground there, and everybody's happy, especially me. But boundaries established in the faith. We're in an election season. You've probably noticed that, haven't you? There are certain boundaries, it seems, just in our lifetime that have been moved. Like, for instance, the Scriptures teach us clearly one of the boundaries, one of the landmarks is that life is formed at conception. Wouldn't you say that? Amen? So we enter into an election season, and as a believer who's been established in the faith, when I look at candidates, one of the very first things I look at is, where do they stand on abortion? Because that's non-negotiable. It's sad, though, that today that there are Christians that it has become negotiable. And just in my lifetime, one of the boundaries in my lifetime and historically has been the definition of marriage. But in my lifetime, the boundaries of the definition of marriage have all changed. These are boundaries that were set in stone. These are landmarks. It's sad because there are some Christians, those boundaries are changing. And when that happens, it's because they don't believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. And that is what Paul commended the Thessalonians for. That you receive the Word, not as the Word of men, but you receive the Word as the Word of God. But let's be careful too. Let's look at our own lives. What about things that are going on in our life, things we're involved with, things we're not involved with? Are we basing our life by an established faith in the Word of God? And now why is that important? Because it brings me to point number two. And the second faith here you're going to see is attempted faith. So the first thing is we need to have an established faith. But now picking it up in verse 3, look what it says. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. Well, let me just stop. What afflictions? What afflictions? Apparently, the believers in Thessalonica were being afflicted. And let me tell you what happened here. You don't need to turn there, but if we were to turn back to Acts chapter 17, that's when Paul brought the gospel to Thessalonica. And he was there for the better part of a month preaching the gospel. It says he preached in the synagogue for three Sabbaths. And what happened was there were certain base and lewd individuals, that's how the Bible puts it, in Thessalonica, that were upset with Paul's preaching. And basically they chased him out of Thessalonica, and the next place he ends up is Berea. In Berea, Paul says, or Luke says in the book of Acts, that these were even more noble than those that were at Thessalonica. They even had a greater love for the things of God. But you know what happened? That church, that crowd in Thessalonica who chased Paul out of Thessalonica, they heard, now he's in Berea. And so they went down to Berea and they chased him out of Berea. That's the afflictions that he's talking about. And now he's in Athens here. And so he knew, and he wondered, I wonder how those new Christians in Thessalonica are doing. Now look what it says. Let me start again in verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. So problems and difficulties are part of the Christian life. It's just the way that's going. It's always been that way. Why? Well, here we're going to find out why. Well, why is that, Pastor? Well, let's read on. Even as it has come to pass, and you know, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear. In other words, Paul's saying, I just needed to know how you were doing. When I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. This is the tempted faith. Afflictions come and tempt our faith. Tribulation comes and tempt our faith. The tempter comes and tempts our faith. Look at chapter 2 and verse 18, just a few verses back. Look what Paul says here. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But look what happened. But Satan hindered us. I don't know about you this morning, but if you don't realize this, that Satan will do everything and anything that he can to hinder our faith. You believe that? Amen? He will do what he can to hinder your faith. And he's successful sometimes. That's why the scriptures tell us to be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But then you know what the next verse says there? It says this. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. What faith? The established faith. The more your faith is established, the more you'll be able to deal with the temptations that come your way. We're going to have our faith tempted. We're going to. And the tempter will come and tempt you just not to participate in your faith. Not to participate. We've been talking about missions and getting the gospel out into the world. The tempter will come and say, you don't need to participate in that. You don't need to be involved in that. Not to participate. The tempter will come and cause you not to perform the doing of it. If we were to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, Paul there is rebuking or challenging, at the very least, the church in Corinth. Because they had promised to take up a love offering for the Christians in Jerusalem. And you know what? They didn't do that. And Paul uses those words. These are all my words, but then I'll say what he said. He said, you promised to do this. You made a commitment to do this. And then he said these words. Now you need to perform the doing of it. You see, at first they thought, well, this is a good idea. But then, apparently along the way, maybe their faith was tempted and they didn't do it. But we're always, listen, that's the challenge. Our missionaries are establishing faith on the foreign fields with regards to the churches that they establish, because they know if these new believers, if these new churches, if they're not established in the Word of God, if they're not if they're not being reminded what the Word of God says, if they're not being preached to on a weekly basis, if they're not being encouraged to get into the Bible and to learn the Bible for themselves, if they're not being established in a prayer life, if they're not being established in fellowshipping one with another, the tempter will come and the tempter will draw them away. And that's how it works. That is how and why, even in our own midst, some of you could think back about so-and-so who used to walk with the Lord and was faithful, or this one used to walk with the Lord is faithful. I can guarantee you that somewhere along the way, their faith stopped being established. Your faith has to be fed just like your body has to be fed. And if your faith is not fed on a regular basis, you will grow weak and the tempter will come and the tempter will snatch away to the best that he can. Not your saving faith, because we believe in eternal security, amen, but your love for the Word of God and your walking by faith. It's how it works. And so Paul, he writes because he's got to know. Well, now let's pick it up in verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. So first we saw the established faith, the tempted faith, and now the charitable faith. You know that in the Bible, in the King James Bible, the word charity, it means, it's another word for love. But this was a charitable faith. And the good tidings, I don't know about you, but having been involved now for 38 years in Faith Promise Mission and putting a portion of how God has blessed me in the offering plate every week to help missionaries, for 38 years, missionaries have come back to Mount Greylock Baptist Church and missionaries have reported on how and what God is doing on the field. And I can't speak for you, but I can only speak for myself. When I'm sitting there listening to the Harmons, and Brother Harmon is saying that 6 churches have been established in Peru, and then I can think to myself, by God's grace and by God's ability, I had a small part in that financially, and I had a part in that prayerfully. I don't know about you, that makes me feel pretty good. Nothing wrong with feeling good as a Christian, amen, for the right thing. But that's a good feeling. That's a good, man, I've had a part in that. I didn't ever go to Peru, maybe someday I would. But I've been to some other missions places and just to see the work that's going on and to be involved in all of that. Man, that's why? Because it's part of my charitable faith, my loving faith. The love that Jesus had for me is the love that constrains me to want to be involved in missions. And that's what Paul saw here. He heard this good news. It was great news to Paul. He wanted to know what was happening. And it was a charitable faith. Paul, look how Paul treated them. Go back, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look what it says here. This is kind of how you get an idea for how and what and why Paul ministered. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, but we, Thessalonians, we were gentle unto you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. He likened it to a nurse and a nurse taking care of a child. Or think you that have raised children and the time and the effort and the labor that goes into raising children. Well, it's the same thing. What keeps the Harmons on the mission field when several times they have had really either near-death experiences or imprisonment? It's the love that they have for the Peruvian people. That in and of itself, as you observe that and you see that, that ought to be a desire that God then places in your heart. Well, God hasn't called me to Peru, but there's a man and his wife who have been in Peru for 30 some years preaching the gospel. I want to help them stay in Peru. I want to help them preach the gospel. I want to see more Peruvians come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the loving faith that you and I should have. And so Paul hears that and saying, oh, greatly desiring to see us. By the way, you know what? When a missionary comes and they show a video, my one advice to missionaries when they come would be to show more people and show less of the geographical area. Because we didn't send them there, and this is not a criticism, don't take this wrong. We didn't send them there to give us a tour of the geographical area of Peru. We sent them there and helped to get them there and pray for them to stay there to reach people. There's an old hymn that nobody sings any longer. It's a great old hymn that we used to always sing. People need the Lord. Many of you that have been around for some time, you remember that. People need the Lord. And, we should sing it. We should sing it sometime. Listen, I'm still the pastor, so sing it sometime, all right? Sing it sometime. And Aaron's going, okay. But people need the Lord, amen? I mean, it's the truth. That's why we have a missions conference. The Thessalonians, they needed the Lord. And so Paul, he says, good tidings, the good news of your faith and charity. We have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. They loved one another. They cared for one another. Verse number 7. The fourth of our fifth faiths now. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all of our affliction and distress by your faith. We were comforted. Listen, our faith is used in the lives of others. When others see us staying faithful, when they see when we have had a faith that's been established, when they see that our faith has been tempted, but despite the fact that it has been tempted, we are still lovingly serving the Lord. And when they see that, it comforts others. Maybe someone else's faith is being tempted. Maybe they're at a weaker point in their life and you're at a stronger point. Or maybe you're at a stronger point and they're at a weaker point. I think I just said the exact same thing. But you understand what I'm saying. So your faith encourages others. Your faithfulness, listen, as a pastor, your faithfulness through this whole pandemic thing has been unbelievably comforting to me. I remember when Shelley and I, it was Mother's Day, and you know, we usually have a little plant that we give to people, to moms on Mother's Day. And so we bought these plants, and there was no services, and we went from house to house to house, dropping off a plant for each mom. It took us 8 hours. It was wonderful. Because when we got to many of your homes, people just wanted to talk. It was like we hadn't had fellowship in weeks. And so we tried to, you know, everything was going on. I'd wash my hands before each plant. And, you know, I'd kind of bring the plant like this and leave it there. But it was comforting to me. Just to see that happen. And then your faithfulness as you would tune in. Your faithfulness financially to support this work here. And your missions financially through all that time. That's comforting. I commend you for that. And Paul says the same here. We were comforted by your faith. It's a comforting faith, verse 7. So again, in my Bible, I have the word comforted underlined and the word faith underlined. And I have a line drawn to the two of them. For now, look what Paul says in verse 8, now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Oh, it's just so good to see people standing fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Oh, it brought such joy, such vitality. It just perhaps is like a refocused effort. He was energized for the Lord's sake and for the sake of others. And that's what a comforting faith does. But now we finish up with this. He says in verse 10, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your faith and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So I have the word lacking underlined, and I have the word faith underlined, and a line between the two. You know what? It doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian. All of us, at some time, at some point, in some area of our lives, are going to find ourselves lacking. Not until we get to heaven and we see Jesus as He is, will we have full faith. And then it won't even be faith because it'll be sight. Amen? But we all are going to have a little bit of lack. You know, I'll give you an example. Have you ever wanted to share the gospel with someone or give them a gospel tract? And even if you're pretty good at this and bold at it, but all of a sudden that one time, you kind of shyly back away? Well, that's just a simple evidence that you were lacking a little faith right then and there. And there are many instances like that. But Paul said, I want your faith perfected, matured, grown up. There must be a recognition in our lives that we're lacking in certain areas of our Christianity. It's going to happen. And sometimes you might even be strong in a particular area, but for some reason or another reason, you kind of draw back a little bit. Whenever you draw back, it's because you're lacking in faith. It may be because the tempter has come. It may be because you have stopped establishing your faith or feeding your faith. It may be because you've forgotten the love that Jesus displayed upon the cross, the reality of that, and now you want to, you need to be reminded of that. But they, Paul said, I am praying for you exceedingly that me would see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul would write this in the book of Philippians, not as though I had already attained. Now, Paul is writing this. He has been a Christian for 30 years, at least 30 years when he writes this. He's been through imprisonment, shipwreck. He's been mocked. He's been beaten with rods. He's been imprisoned. He's been left for dead. He's been stoned. He's had to deal with robbers and thieves. He's had to deal with the cold at night and the heat during the day. You might say, well, by then he must have been full of faith. Well, he was a great man of faith. But he said this in the book of Philippians, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that may, that I may apprehend, that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. And some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor, when do we stop pressing forth? Either when Jesus calls you home or you hear the trumpet sound. Until then, Jesus said, occupy till I come. There's a work to be done. And that means being involved in a local ministry like Mount Greylock Baptist Church. That means being involved in missions work in Judea and Samaria and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world. And for these 38 years, Mount Greylock Baptist Church has been involved in their Jerusalem. They've been involved in their Judea. They've been involved in their Samaria. And you have been involved to the uttermost parts of the world. And we need to continue to do that until either Jesus calls you home or we hear the shout of the trumpet. Amen? So I hope this week you've prayed, but that's our goal. We never set a financial goal for missions. We don't do that. My goal, Ethan had said last week, we don't set a goal. Well, I do set a goal. It's just not financial. My goal for you every year is that you will take some time and pray and just ask the Lord, Lord, what part do you want me to have in worldwide missions through the ministry of Mount Greylock Baptist Church? That's between you and the Lord. If you've done that, then you have reached the goal that I have asked you to reach. If you haven't done that, then today begin. And then don't make a decision today. Wait until next Sunday, or maybe until the following Sunday, and then make a decision. Because the Lord will enable you. Let me just finish with these last verses, and I am done. So he says this, verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Love one another, he says. Love one another. Love all men. Love those who are saved and love the lost. How do we love the lost? By sharing the gospel with them. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Listen, we just need to stay busy. We just need to occupy till he comes. We need to just keep focused. We need to keep preaching. We need to keep teaching. We need to keep sending. We need to keep giving. We need to keep praying. We need to keep living for Jesus. A life that is true. Striving to please him in all that we do. Yielding allegiance. Glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessings for you and me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. This morning, as we conclude the service, we look to the scriptures and to 1 Thessalonians, and we see the relationship between missionary Paul and the people of Thessalonica. It gives us a glimpse of the relationship of our missionaries to the people God has called them to. I pray and I hope that you've spent some time with Jesus this week and you've asked him, Lord, what part do you want me to have in missions? How can I help get the gospel out? What can I do? I was speaking with a man that I've really just met, and I had invited him to church, and he hasn't been to church in quite some time, but he was very active for a number of years. And he said, yeah, there was a time I gave up, he's a contractor, he said, I gave up 6 weeks worth of work, and he went to a foreign country to help build a building there for missions. Somehow along the way, his faith, which was once far more established, it grew cold. Still there, but it grew cold. The tempter came and drew him away. Forgot the love of Christ. Well, not completely and not totally. But we're reminded that the debt was too great for us to pay. That only Jesus could pay the debt. We were lost and on our way to hell. But Jesus found us and saved us. If you're here today or if you're watching on live stream, maybe you've never received this gift of salvation that Jesus provided for us on the cross. What it means is, just like in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians were idol worshipers. I didn't read it, but it says there in 1 Thessalonians that they had to turn from worshiping dumb idols to the one true living God. Salvation is turning from everything and everyone and turning to the one and only living God, Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago to save us from our sin. He shed his blood there because he was the Son of God without sin. Only he could pay for your sin, and only he could pay for my sin. And when he hung on that cross, the Bible says all of your sin and mine were placed upon him. He was meeting the judicial requirements of our Heavenly Father, of our Holy God. He was buried. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and victorious over death. And today, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, If you'll ask Him in a very simple way, you have to admit to Him that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to believe that Jesus died and He paid for your sin. But God commendeth His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And by faith you call upon Him. Even now, if you're sitting in the auditorium, right where you sit, you can call upon Him. Admit to Him you're a sinner. I believe, Jesus, you died and paid for my sin. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call upon Him. If you're watching from home this morning and you've never done that, right in your living room or wherever you're watching, just bow your heart towards heaven and cry out to the Lord, and He'll save you. That's salvation by faith. Father, thank You again for the opportunity to gather here this morning. Help us to be a people of faith. The just shall live by faith. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.